Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
According to the American Red Cross, more than 500,000 people are living in temporary shelters in Japan. The Japanese government says around 2 million are without power, more than a million without water. If you've been trying to call, you know the phone service has been disrupted. And the Japanese government has dispatched 100,000 troops, Japanese and international, to lead an aid effort. And people want to know how they can help. We'll have a list at hereandnow.org, but let's check in with one aid organization. Casey Kalamus is with World Vision, the Christian humanitarian group. He's in Tokyo. And Casey, we've been hearing it, but tick through some of the things you're finding people running out of.
Food, clean water, and shelter are definitely at the top of the list. And especially without power right now and temperatures approaching freezing, it's also important to get blankets and warm clothing to these people, because it's going to be very cold. Our staff were in Sendai last night at one of the displacement shelters there and noted that kids were sleeping on the ground in near freezing weather with nothing but a cardboard box underneath them in the ground. So it's imperative right now that we get these blankets and new clothes and jackets and supply us these people as quickly as we can.
You mentioned kids, and we know World Vision has something called child-friendly spaces that they try to establish once they've brought some relief in. What's that?
Child-friendly spaces are something we've used very successfully after disaster responses, most recently the Haiti earthquake, and they're areas where we set up a kind of safe places for kids. And we have trained World Vision counselors who can talk to the kids about what they've been through. The kids can participate in art therapy and kind of draw about what they're experiencing. If their schools have been damaged, they can participate in informal education. But basically, it's a chance for the kids to have a sense of normalcy and finally return some stability to their lives after living in chaos the last couple of days.
And Japan is a pretty sophisticated country. It's not as if you're dealing with a third world country. However, you know, any country after this kind of devastation becomes third world pretty quickly. You know, is there sort of a way that you have to approach this that may be different from a third world country that doesn't have a lot to start with?
That's a great question. And maybe to put it in perspective, our relief manager here, who's based in Japan, is usually focused on helping the emergency relief programs for World Vision overseas in the developing world. He was in Haiti last year. He was in Myanmar after the cyclone a couple years ago. So he's got a lot of experience, and when he went up to Sendai yesterday, he said this was one of the worst that he'd ever seen. And this is in his own backyard now. In many cases, staff and the relief responders have been affected themselves. Our response manager had his home severely damaged here in Tokyo. But at the same time, the advantages to being such a developed country is very rarely will you have a 9.0 earthquake and a tsunami and a death toll of about 10,000 people. You saw in Haiti last year with a 7.0 earthquake killed 250,000. So the strong building structures and building codes that Japan has and their capacity to respond quickly and effectively is definitely a big help during a situation like this.
Well, and we've been hearing that Japanese have, you know, words, for instance, one of them means never, ever, 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 ever give up. And I'm just, you know, wondering if, you know, you have mental health workers who will focus on specific issues that might come up in this culture.
Yeah, we do actually have a child protection specialist who's Japanese that we are going to be using. And it's somebody who's familiar with the culture and familiar with their ways of thinking and the way they go about life. So she'll be helping to design the programs and the child-friendly spaces to make sure that they're most applicable to these children.
So, Casey, what is the best way for people to help? Obviously, they can contribute to groups like World Vision, but is it wise for people to start thinking of sending things? I mean, what can people do?
Yeah, really, financial donations in a situation like this are most helpful. Sending what we call goods in kind are not really cost-effective in a situation like this, especially because they are usually available somewhere else nearby here in Japan, either in Tokyo or in Kobe. By the time you send supplies and they get through customs and shipping and handling, they've probably paid for themselves a couple times over. So it's more effective to just make a donation and let the aid organizations purchase supplies on the ground.
Casey Kalamus with World Vision in Tokyo. Casey, thank you so much.
Thanks so much.